Kane is in the building.
Now that I'm a college graduate and ready for the real world, Liberty Shirt Co. has me covered. They have the finest dress shirts made for every occasion. Job interviews, business trips, or even just a casual shirt to wear around. If you use promo code 3PEAT during the month of September, you will get 25% off the purchase. So what are you waiting for? Head over to www.libertyshirtco.com and use promo code 3PEAT at checkout. That's valid all September long.
Welcome back to another season of 3PEAT Podcast episodes. This is our fourth season. It's crazy that time is flying by. Once again, I am your host, Josh Fromowitz, and joining me again for another season are my other co-hosts,
Alex Castle,
Steven Benazzo.
And we got a lot in store this season. We got some big episodes planned. We got a special guest athlete joining us, Will Berkowitz. Will, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. It's great to be on the show again, for sure.
Yeah, we had you in the first season. We were talking about your path, soon-to-be athlete, committing to Maryland, wrestling there, Big Ten, all the hype, and how you were dealing with COVID. And now we're flipping the script a bit. We're still going to talk about how COVID has impacted your season as you redshirted last year, and about the new ruling that affected a lot of college athletes. And for those who don't know, over the summer, there was a NCAA ruling about the name, image, likeness, and this has been talked about for many, many, many years. Athletes were not allowed to get paid, sign autographs, you name it. But now there's a Supreme Court ruling that allowed athletes to do all that. They can't physically get paid, like on a salary, but they can still sign autographs, make money off of their name. Which brings us to Will. Well, I'm sure when you heard that news, you're probably very stoked, even though you're still an underclassman and wrestling is not the revenue generator that football or basketball might be. But I'm sure hearing this news, you're probably still stoked hearing it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great news, you know, for the whole NCAA athletic student athlete community. You know, everybody's kind of got the opportunity to make a little bit on the side of with their name, you know, especially those guys who are real big names and people know, you know, kind of household names that are still in the NCAA. You know, as an NCAA athlete, you know, there's a lot more commitment that comes with than a normal college student. Of course, you know, those guys we don't really have a whole bunch of time to go get extra jobs and stuff. And, I mean, granted, there are guys that do go out there and get extra jobs and those guys, I mean, credit to them, you know, I mean, it's hard to find time for that though, you know? So it opens up a new avenue for athletes to be able to make a little bit of money off of the work that they put in to get their name as big as it is. So, you know, it's awesome. It's great. So.
And that's really great. And, you know, one of the biggest things that we as sports fans have struggled to watch is the lack of not only respect, but, you know, the lack of money that you guys can make. I mean, you're putting in all of this effort, all of this time and dedication, and the fact that you couldn't make anything off of it was upsetting to see. And now you have that opportunity. So what's it going to be like for you personally, Will? You know, like you'd been mentioned, you're a redshirt freshman. You know, it's a brand new season. What is this new opportunity going to present to you this season in terms of profit that you'll make, new opportunities? Talk about that a little bit.
Right. And so, yeah, when the name, image, and likeness rule came out, you know, of course, you know, me and my teammates were super excited. It's an opportunity for every athlete, not just, you know, not just football and basketball. But at the same time, you know, there is a little something you do your name, image and likeness. I mean, those guys who are like top Heisman Trophy winners and stuff in football, obviously are going to get a lot more endorsements than guys who are just coming into maybe other smaller sports and stuff. But you know, for me, I kind of thought, you know, I'm not really going to focus on the name, image, and likeness really part until I establish myself as an elite athlete in the NCAA and NCAA wrestling, You know, I've got goals being All American, national champ. So I mean that comes first, and with pursuing those goals, and then the name, image, and likeness thing, well, it'll come into play for sure more and more. You know, so I wasn't really super into, like, you know, I wasn't going and jumping on and trying to find myself some endorsements and ambassadorships to make myself money immediately. You know, I mean, it's you gotta have the name, image, and likeness, you know, to do that. So not all college athletes are gonna start making a bunch of money, you know, of course. But I mean, it is another avenue. You know, people are always gonna work hard. You know, people are already gonna work as hard as they're gonna be to achieve their goals. So, you know, the top of the top are gonna make good money. You know, the guys behind, they'll have opportunities to pick up some ambassadorships and small endorsements. But you know, for me, I'm really focusing on my original goals in athletics and academics, and to get myself and the NIL rules will come behind, you know. So
it's interesting, like you've been saying, with it gives all you athletes like opportunities to build up your brand, your name, and especially whether it's big football and basketball athletes, or even, you know, just all the athletes in general. Like, before this can never happen, so it's cool. And you know, I'm interested in seeing in the future how athletes continue to do this. And I've already been so intrigued with some of the deals that these guys already made, even like the Ohio State quarterback, who I think jumped up a class, just signed like a $1.3 million deal. So like, there's money to be made in it. So now you signed an endorsement deal with Victory. Is that true?
Right. Yeah. So, like I said, I wasn't really super into like looking around trying to make myself a bunch of deals, but you know, Victory, that was it's a small little deal that I just felt, you know, why not? So people, you know, in today's day and age, there's more ways to improve and build your brand upon the NIL rules than just your performance on the field. I mean, obviously TikTok's a huge, in social media have been huge avenues over, especially since COVID and the past couple of years. You know, people have been all over their phones and social media. So, you know, guys, like, I mean, just, I have a specific teammate that maybe he's been all over TikTok and he's got over 100,000 followers, and he's gotten to the point where he can make money off of that. But he, before the NIL rules, he couldn't accept any of it because, I mean, he can't get paid as a student athlete, you know? So, but now that those rules come into play, he can. So like, that's another way that guys can make money and stuff and improve their brand, you know? But it's interesting, you know, it's cool. But, yeah, so with, my ambassadorship with, Team Victory, it's pretty interesting. All they'll basically what Team Victory is, for those of you guys that probably don't know, it's an insole company that builds these performance insoles that they're designed to increase your vertical, your speed, and just help your training. And so what Team Victory has done, they send me a pair of soles, and I'll unbox these and I'll make a video for them. And then I'll basically promote their product. I'll post it on a TikTok or Reel, and they'll send me $100 a month for that, you know, just to do that once a month. And if I have something go viral, then they'll give me a bonus, you know. So it's nothing huge. It's just something a little bit on the side, just something cool, you know, some interesting, you know, that I can dip my toes into the NIL rule, into the NIL. So, It's pretty exciting stuff, but nothing huge, you know. But yeah, it's a pretty neat company. It's a pretty neat thing. Maybe in investment in yourself, if you're looking to increase your vertical, your speed for whatever sport you may be pursuing, basketball, football, just if you just want to become a better athlete, become a better person. So become better physically. So it's a pretty cool little deal.
I think I might have to do that. You know, I'm already lacking in height a little bit, so I can use the extra vertical, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a pretty cool thing. I'll have to get back to you guys on it. I'll hit you with the video once I get the soles and make it.
We can't wait. But every positive, there's negatives. And it seems like so far we've only covered positives, and it seems like there's nothing but positives. But have you noticed there to be any downside in accepting an NIL deal? Not necessarily yours specifically, just in general.
Um, uh, That's interesting. I mean, I haven't thought about that a whole bunch, but there definitely can be downsides. I mean, if you look at the obvious ones, I mean, you're talking about the Ohio State quarterback who just signed the $1.3 million deal. I mean, I saw as soon as the NIL rules came out, the Alabama quarterback who had never even taken a snap already has over a million deals and endorsements too. So, I mean, that's great for those athletes. That's great for that's great, I think, honestly. But, I mean, as long as those young kids, 19, 20 years old, no, I mean, they can handle it. You know, it's a big responsibility that a lot of people in professionals can't even handle yet. So, I mean, it with power comes responsibility. So, you know, as long as those athletes can handle that kind of responsibility, then yeah, I think it can only be positive. And then there's also certain rules that, you know, you got to make sure you report all your endorsements and ambassadorships to your institution and make sure that nothing you're doing is crossing the board, the rules of NIL. You can't straight up get paid for, I can't straight up get paid for wrestling here or for wrestling with somebody, you know, but I can get paid for using my name, image, and advertisement. So, I think that, people can get in trouble by bending those rules for sure, but as long as you're smart and responsible, I think that's a great thing. I think it's I think it should have happened a long time ago, honestly. So.
It really amazes me how you had just mentioned, I didn't even know that the quarterback from Alabama who's getting all these deals already. And it's crazy to think how, you know, they're college kids and they're already being approached with all these different opportunities, which brings me to my next question. You had mentioned earlier that this deal with Victory, you're kind of just dipping your toes in the water. It's kind of something that you're doing on the side, which I think is great. You know, keep focusing, be hungry with the actual wrestling, but you are still very young in your career, and that will present more opportunities for endorsements. So my question for you is, have you thought about, you know, getting any sort of representation, kind of hiring someone to consult you almost like a manager per se, or is that kind of, you know, you're kind of more like, I'm just going to, you know, consult it with my parents and keep it in the family?
Yeah. So as of right now, yeah, I'm not going to look and try and get any agent or help for anything like that. But like I also said, I'm not super looking for big deals or endorsements or anything right now. So that's another reason. Right now, I'm looking to become a better wrestler. I want to be one of the best guys in college wrestling. So once I achieve that goal, then other things will follow. You know, once I become the All-American national champ that people know in everybody in their households and people know in the wrestling world, then my name, image, and likeness will be bigger, and I can talk to companies, and companies will be more interested with deals with me. So you know, it really goes hand in hand. You really have to put in the work on the, like, just anything, you know. You really have to put the work in on the backside to get it on the front side. I mean, with wrestling, I mean, it's not like a lot of other sports where there's professional, there's higher level to go to and make money off of and build a career off of. With wrestling, we grind so hard. We work so hard for pride. You know, at the end of the day, we win a national title, you get a medal around your neck, you get a ring on your finger. I mean, you get to stand on the top of a podium. That's pride, you know? So at that point in time, so the name and image and likeness rules, those add a little element to that wrestlers don't really get to see a lot of, unless they get onto the international levels where they sign big deals and are going to world championships and stuff, you know. But you know, it's cool. But right now I'm just focusing on getting better, and once I get to the level that I want to be, then I'll probably focus a little bit more on maybe looking for some deals. But right now I'm just trying to get to where I want to go. So
as you just continue to emphasize that you're trying to better yourself as a wrestler and stuff like that, so I want to talk about then your actual wrestling right now. And like Josh said in the beginning, when we first talked to you, it was during COVID. You were kind of leaving high school and getting ready for this moment where you are right now. So I want to know, you know, what has that transition been like athletically, but also just socially? I mean, college, yeah. Josh and Alex are college graduates. I'm in my last year. So, like, we know what it was like socially for us. But as now for you as a student athlete, especially at a big time school like the University of Maryland. So just talk about that.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah. the past year here being here, I mean, I'm sure you guys know we hear it all the time. Past year sucked. I mean, but yeah, we got here. We got to work training, and the wrestling part of it was big. The academics were a lot different because, you know, we didn't have any in-person classes. Everything was online. So that was a little difficult. Some people aren't. I mean, I personally am not very good at learning online and stuff. But then socially, that was also different as well. I mean, once we really got here and got into training, we were bubbled from everybody. So we weren't allowed to see anybody. We weren't allowed to have friends over. We weren't allowed to go out and hang out with people just because of the risk that we run with potentially getting COVID. You know, we haven't had a single COVID case on our team, knock on wood, since September of last year. So if we had a COVID case in the middle of the season last year, that could have been potentially detrimental to our season. So it was a short season last year. We had only in conference matches, and it was still a pretty weird COVID season. But yeah, socially last year wasn't too much of that going on. But now, you know, since things restrictions have gotten a little bit looser, a little bit more loose, and we're rolling into a new year, and I think we're dealing with things a little bit better. You know, we might be having this Delta variant going around, but people are vaccinated. I mean, it's a lot different. You know, the campus is kind of buzzing again after we have in-person classes this year now, they just started this week, you know. It's pretty cool. You know, we're meeting more people, and it's just going to be another element that goes into our training and academics this year that we didn't really have to deal with too much last year. But it's going to be interesting. We'll just have to balance that out, you know, obviously we're students, then athletes, and then we have social lives as well after those two things. So, you know, it'll be interesting for sure.
And now I want to piggyback off what you keep mentioning is how you want to focus on getting your name, image, and likeness up by becoming better every day. So talk to me about some of your goals. I know you keep mentioning you want to be All-American. That's everyone's goal. But, yeah. And I'm not saying that's not realistic. I think it's very realistic. But what is something you want to achieve by the end of this season, aside from being All-American, I guess?
Right. So by the end of the season, so I don't know if you guys are 100% aware of like the weird rules that were going on as far as eligibility last year for COVID. But last year, everybody, like, technically red shirts weren't a thing last year. So everybody saved a year last year of eligibility. So if I was a freshman last year, I'm a freshman again this year, and I can redshirt again this year and have four more years afterwards. So basically with me last year, I had a kind of interesting situation. I ended up getting a mono pretty bad right at the beginning of our season. And I was really sick for like a month. And then I was so sick that it sent me into an issue where I was having problems with my liver. And so basically I was out the whole season. I didn't really get to compete at all last year. We only had 9 matches. So it is what it is, but yeah, so I'm planning on redshirting again this year. We have a fifth-year kid in my weight class right now. So I'm planning on redshirting this year and hitting and what that means is I'll be at a bunch of 5, 6, 7 open tournaments this year, hitting on the weekends and competing with really good guys who are in some of the same position I am. And my goal is to win a few of these tournaments, play, you know, stand on the podium. You know, I just want to get better this year. Redshirt year is about getting better and developmental for sure. That's what I keep talking about it, but you know, that's really where your mind's got to be as an athlete, especially in our sport. You just have to focus on getting better every year, every day, every practice, every workout, you know. So it taking it one step at a time right now, but next year I plan on breaking the lineup and getting in some Big Ten matches for sure. That's where my mind's at right now.
And I love that mindset. And I think that mindset of yours is going to take you a very long way in your career, especially the fact that even with this new rule that you're not really focusing too much on the endorsement aspect, which brings me to my next question, not just your teammates, but everyone in general at the Division I level who is now presented with these new opportunities. Do you see it as a distraction? Do you see some of these athletes putting more focus into getting their name and likeness up more for the financial aspect, whether they need it or not? Do you think that it could be a negative distraction to these athletes?
Yeah, there you go. That's a good point. I mean, I definitely think that it can be a negative distraction. You know, as far as guys on my team specifically, I feel like that's not so much of an issue, but I can definitely see where it could be as far as football players and basketball players, or not to call it specific sport or anything, but like, I mean, anything, you know, you can be one of the best athletes there, and you're like, oh, well, now I'm the best. Let me go see what I can do. And now you're focusing on all these endorsements and ambassadorship. Maybe you need that. Maybe then those guys are in positions where they need to sign agents, and those guys can focus on it, so they can just focus on their sport, you know? So I think that maybe if people don't handle it right, and people are putting a little too much focus on the NIL, the name, image, and likeness, and not enough on academics, which is going to what is responsible for their eligibility, and then and obviously athletics, which is, you know, very important. You know, those things are the two main important things that we're here to do. So it's kind of like the social life, you know, you got to have those two first, and then the social life falls in third. So, I mean, as long as those guys can keep their head on straight, I don't think it'll be too much of a negative issue, but I can definitely see where some people might not be mature enough to handle something like that. But, you know, that just goes with everything everywhere, you know, so.
And then, I kind of just, you know, I wanted to hear you, what you say about this, but I wanted to know, is there a certain like team in your conference or a certain wrestler in your weight class that you're looking forward to going up against? Or is it just like all of them mean the same thing and you're just trying to, you know, take on whoever and doesn't matter, and right, you're just, at the end of the day, just trying to win?
Right. And so, like I said, I mean, I'm going to be wrestling in open tournaments, wrestling against schools all over the country, small D1, big D1. I mean, I could be wrestling against kids who are D2, D3. I mean, whatever. This year, I'm focusing on taking anybody's head. I mean, I'm taking anybody's name. This year, I'm coming for everything. You know, I want to go out there and do my thing no matter who I wrestle. But maybe next year, once I break that lineup and really establish myself and establish my name, I'll start looking around and thinking about who, and maybe thinking about a little bit of who I want a piece of. But honestly, even throughout high school, I mean, I was never the kid to go look at, like, I want to go wrestle him, or, oh shit, look at this guy who, you know, I mean, I've never been the guy to go and look at my opponents like that. I've always been the guy to go out there and just wrestle, you know, because it's what I like to do. I just want to go out there and wrestle. So,
yeah, no, and we're at the 3P podcast, we're rooting for you. We know you'll succeed. My last question for you, Will, is a bit off topic. I know you're a kid from North Carolina, and since we're a sports podcast, where we are about to cover this after you got off, but I want to know your thoughts. So what are your thoughts on Cam Newton being cut from the Patriots? I'm sure he was your boy when he was the quarterback for the Panthers.
Yeah. So I'm a huge Panthers fan, and Cam Newton's one of my favorite players. I mean, just what he's done for us as a Panthers fan. And I don't know, man. I know Belichick's supposed to be some kind of genius, but I don't really know what the deal is with him losing the spot on the team up there. You know, I think Cam's a guy that works really hard, and I think that he'll find himself somewhere else for, you know, leading some other team, you know. But you know, he's got some proving himself to do, and he hasn't been really super good in a few years, but I mean, there's been bigger comebacks, man. I still believe in him. He's still my guy. So, but it is what it is.
Yes, it is. Well, we want to thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing your success story as we continue to follow it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you guys having me. It's a great conversation, you know, real, real good stuff.
Always as well. Best of luck to you.
Thanks, guys.
Good luck.
Oh, always great having him on, Josh. I know he's your cousin, and we really appreciate you bringing him on. Great kid, and I really, you know, I don't follow college wrestling a lot, but going to be following Maryland this season for sure.
The thing that really, you know, speaks to me about him is just how humble he is and how hungry he is. You know, obviously, like you were saying, you know, this NLI opportunity, a lot of kids could just stop focusing on their actual sport, what got them that position where they are, you know, whether it's basketball, football, baseball, softball, wrestling, cross country, track, field, whatever, you know, that sport got them to that, you know, school and that position. But now that with this, it's such a great opportunity, but, you know, some people might be focusing more on that and the, you know, business side of it. But Will, like, that's not the case. And obviously he already has that partnership with Victory, but it's not distracting him in the slightest. So, you know, it's really good to see him remaining focused and motivated to still achieve the goals that he has set for himself probably since he was, you know, young and just starting out with wrestling. So it was really good to see.
Yeah. And to your point, Steve, imagine if this ruling was around, let's say 10 years ago when Johnny Manziel was tearing up college football. I really don't think we'd see the same production because of a year or two, three later, we see how many off-field issues and distractions that caused him to be out of the league within less than 4 years of being drafted by the Browns. So I think, and I love the way you put it, how humble he is and how hungry he is. I wish we could say the same about more student athletes, but I'm sure we'll see so many cases where kids get so distracted where they're not focusing and practicing their asses off. And then kids like Will might get a shot earlier rather than later.
And yeah, and you know, I kind of got 2 points now. And even like that, maybe I think I might just forgot one of them. So maybe I just have one now. But like the Quinn Ewers kid, he's an Ohio State quarterback. You know, he was supposed to be a senior this year in high school. He then reclassified to be part of class of 2021, who graduated now, like enrolled at Ohio State, signing that $1.3 million deal. I mean, this dude hasn't even like just getting into college and hasn't even like taken like, I don't even know if he's been practicing with Ohio State yet, and he's already made this $1.3 million deal. I mean, that's just, like, absurd. You know, you could say Bryce Young hasn't taken a snap yet as a starter, but, like, he did get a little time last year when they were blowing out every other, you know, every single team every week. So, like, you saw, you know, some good plays by him. Like, all right, this kid's got it. And usually, like, Alabama's got good teams and to surround them. So I think he's going to be good, and I see that I think – the amount of money he's been getting will eventually pay off. And like this Quinn Ewers kid, I think he'll still be really good. You know, he was a number one recruit, but like that's a lot of money for such a young kid who is already like kind of jumping the positions, like almost jumping these, I don't know, not like roadblocks, but like he's not even supposed to technically be there, but he's kind of worked around there and some, you know, was able to reclassify, but it's a lot. But it is, I think it's a good thing for these college athletes, obviously. The NCAA makes a lot of money off the players' names and
too much money, some might say.
Yeah. You know, and the coaches, obviously, they're getting paid. So they're getting all their stuff, but the players, athletes weren't. So now that they are, and especially a lot of sports, there's not like that big professional level after, like the NFL or the MLB or NBA or NHL, or even like soccer. Like, there's not all these smaller sports have that. So if they can make some money now off themselves, and like Wilson, it's not like Maryland's giving him a check every week saying, all right, thanks for wrestling for us. Like, no, like pretty much that paycheck is scholarships or this, that, like, you know, he's making money and all these other athletes are making money off their own name, their own likeness. So I wish, you know, maybe pretty soon this podcast will be able to start making some money, you know, seeing fellas, but you know,
we got our sponsorship, so shout out.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, you know, but it's definitely good for these athletes. I think it's a good thing for them.
It really is. It, you know, it's finally paying off for these guys to put in, you know, putting all the work and the late hours. And again, like I said to Will earlier, you know, I hope it doesn't present distractions for some of these kids who might, you know, be from financial situations where they need to make the money. But at the end of the day, you know, and this could be a conversation for another time, the NCAA, in my opinion, is one of the most crooked organizations in all of sports. And I think that the fact that, you know, the name, image, likeness rule is now coming into effect, it's a step in the right direction. Do I think they should be paid a salary? Yes, but hey, you know, not everything happens overnight. And I think that this is history in the making, and I think it only gets better from here, and I hope it does. And I hope athletes like Will, who wrestle, or guys who play lacrosse, or guys who play soccer, where it's a little more competitive to play professionally, I hope they continue to get these opportunities now to make money.
Agreed, and we'll keep following it because this is a huge story that's far from being developed. It seems like things are heading in the right direction finally with the NCAA, but time will tell. Time will tell. So I asked Will that question about Cam Newton because now I want to bring it up with you guys. It really shocked everyone when Cam was cut because we were all under the assumption that he would be the starter to start the season. Mac Jones, who they took out of Alabama, would be the backup. And it's funny, I was at the Giants-Patriots game on Sunday night. I'm a Jets fan, but I was at MetLife. I was at the Jet game on Friday, so it's fine.
The one that got monsooned on?
Yeah, turned out to be beautiful after. And I was under the assumption that, okay, Cam Newton got like two series just because that's the traditional for the starting QB. And then the backup takes basically up until half and then the third string. So that's what the Patriots did. We left that game. Okay, Cam Newton, he's prepping for week one. But no, a day later, he gets cut. And I personally was shocked. I didn't see it coming. I don't know about you guys.
I was shocked. And I actually, throughout the league, I was shocked with some of the other moves that were made. But that's you know, the name of the business. And you have to sometimes make a hard decision. Here's the thing. You saw Cam Newton last year. I don't even think the guy passed through 10 touchdowns, right? I think he had like 9 passing touchdowns and 11 picks. He was most effective with his legs, which for the most of his career he was. But in Carolina, in that 1 year, he threw for like over 30 touchdowns. He had 4,000 yards one or two times. But ever since his like last year or so in Carolina with his shoulder, he was not able to throw the same. And even last year in New England, the first couple games, his arm looked a little better. But then as the season went on, just no. So Mac Jones gives you that. It gives you what the quarterback's supposed to do is throw the ball and make the right reads. And not that Cam wasn't, but he wasn't able to do as well as he did back in his time in Carolina. So I am shocked that they did cut him and not leave him as a backup in case if Mac Jones starts to struggle and, you know, you need a veteran guy out there, or in case, you know, I don't want to see it happen, but if Mac Jones gets hurt, I mean, it's just, again, it's football, so injuries can happen at any given time. So I was shocked that they didn't even keep him at all. But one, frees him up a little cap space, not too much. You know, it's only a 1 year deal, and then somebody was guaranteed anyways. But also, who knows? Maybe Belichick really likes Cam and wants to give Cam an opportunity to start somewhere. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it's completely false. Obviously, there are some reports saying that, you know, with his vaccination status, I don't think Cam was vaccinated. And obviously the league is really trying to push for teams to be fully vaccinated. Obviously that's not going to happen for everywhere. So they want, I think, what, like 75% vaccination status or some, you know, a pretty high number, but not fully. So who knows? But then it came out that it wasn't because of his vaccination status. So who knows what true reason why he was released, but it did definitely catch me by surprise. And I thought, if anything, they should kept him in as backup, and then see how Mac would do the first couple weeks. So, you know, if only the Bears did that with, like, Nick Foles, just get rid of Nick Foles. Well, we won't get into that because that's going to be a whole episode for itself. So, Castle, what do you got?
Oh, man, you know we're back to shooting when Stevie's talking his Bears. I was very surprised, like you guys, did not see this coming. I really thought that Cam was going to be the number one and Mac was going to be the backup. But I'm also not surprised at the same time. And I'll tell you why. I think Mac Jones is the type of quarterback that really thrives in a system. Nick Saban's a system guy. Alabama's, you know, arguably one of the best systems in all of college football. And I think Belichick saw that with Mac Jones. And I think Belichick is a guy with a master plan. And I think he knew that when he wanted Mac Jones to start, that it was going to be time to boot Cam Newton. Because as we know, Cam Newton does not want to ride the bench. He wants to start. So I think when he put all of that together, he said, you know what? I'm not going to have a guy on my team who's going to bring negative energy, who's just going to whine while he's riding the bench, and who's not going to be a productive guy to help develop my rookie quarterback. It's sad. I think Cam Newton should have gotten a shot. You know, I'm not a big fan of him, but I respect his game. You know, he was incredible with Carolina those few seasons that he had, and I think he should have had the opportunity to prove himself once again this season. But, you know, as we all know, that football is a business, it's a sport, and stuff like this happens. And, you know, Belichick's got a lot riding on this season now. You know, he's saying, I'm putting all the cards forward, and I'm riding with Mac Jones, and you know what? There's no excuse for this guy. You know, he's got two great tight ends. He's got some solid wide receivers. It should be interesting to see. I do feel for Cam Newton, though, and I hope he finds a team, just not in the NFC East, but I hope the guy does find a team.
It's funny because, you know, I guess similar to my Bears situation, I'm not trying to make this into the Bears, but, you know, it's a pretty comparable situations where you have the veteran guy who is really not much or any better than the rookie behind him. And usually a guy like Belichick, you would think would kind of follow the, you know, the model of let the rookie, you know, especially rookie quarterback, you know, if a rookie receiver or running back, fill them right in because they're not going to really alter the game. You know, you have veteran guys all around them or like a rookie lineman, just throw them right in. But a quarterback, that's a big position. So, you know, you would think Belichick would be like that guy, like an Andy Reid to, all right, let's sit a rookie quarterback, let him learn behind the veteran, and then in a year or so, I mean, heck, Rodgers sat for how many years, you know? So let him sit. But no, he said Mac did better in the preseason. We like what Mac has shown us, and we think he's the better player at that position, will lead us to more success throughout the season with him at the helm and Cam Newton. And that's why, that's what I want Matt Nagy to realize, that not everything has to be like Kansas City, especially him coming from Kansas City. That's all he tries to implement. And it's not the Chicago Chiefs or the Kansas City Bears. You know, it's, you're the Chicago Bears. You're Matt Nagy. You're not Andy Reid's son or, you know, cousin, or you're, yes, you coach with him and are close, but you're your own coach. And that's why I respect Belichick for saying, you know what, I don't care if he's a rookie. He's given us the best shot to win. And, you know, because the Patriots offense was not good at all last year. You know, especially from what it used to be with Tom Brady, like you knew there would be a decline, but there was some serious decline, and luckily their defense was still pretty good. But so that's why I respect his decision for saying, I don't care. Like, I'll start the rookie. I think he gives us the best chance to win. And, you know, we'll have to see. Obviously, it seems like Andy Dalton's going to be the starter for a little while. We'll have to see, like, San Francisco, same thing. Seems like Trey Lance played pretty damn well in the preseason. And Jimmy G has been injured and consistent. You know, what is Shanahan going to do? I think Shanahan won't be scared to pull the book, Belichick, and be like, heck, I want the rookie. You know, this guy's mobile. He's young. He's got an arm. So it's going to be definitely interesting, but I think it was the right move by New England.
It'll be fun to watch that transpire because Tua is going to see some familiar faces. Not Tua. What am I saying? Mac Jones is going to see some familiar faces on game day because he's facing the Dolphins week one. So he's going to see Tua, Jalen Waddle, some former Alabama teammates, and they're making history because it's going to be the three Alabama quarterbacks, Mac Jones, Tua Tagovailoa, and Jalen Hurts. They're all starting week one, so it's crazy how far they've came from that 2018 Alabama national title team to all starting week one on different football teams. So that just proves how much of a powerhouse that school is.
It is crazy. I mean, you look at that picture with them, like, forgot they're all like smoking cigars or what, but you know, you had, I think it was Mac Jones and then Jalen Hurts and then Tua all, you know, in their uniforms and stuff like that after a game in the locker room, like posing for a picture. And who, at the time, you're like, Jalen Hurts was really good, but now he's been struggling a little bit. And then Tua's kind of coming out of nowhere and looking good. Looks like he's going to be the star. And then maybe Jalen Hurts will get a shot in the NFL. And I don't even think Mac Jones will continue playing football in like 2 years. And now, like you said, Tua was the fifth overall pick, the Dolphins in the 2020 draft. And it's, you know, they want him to be their guy. Jalen Hurts was a second round pick, but they got rid of Wentz to let him lead this offense. And then the Patriots took Mac Jones, and then obviously got rid of Cam Newton to have him be their leader. So it is crazy to think, like, just a couple of years ago, all these guys were in the same team, and now they're all going to lead an NFL offense, you know, next week. So I like all those guys, to be honest. You know, when they're playing and they're doing so well, it gets frustrating because you're like, oh my, like, can they just, like, they seem to do everything perfect. It's like, are they ever going to mess up? But I, you know, Jalen Hurts, I like a lot. Tua, not too many people like, but I'm still pretty high on Tua. And then Mac Jones, I mean, he's kind of like, within the past year, he's been balling out. So I got to give him credit. So I think I like that little group, and I, you know, hopefully they do pretty good things in this league.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of theirs, especially since two of the three are rivals with my Jets, but also just going back to their Alabama days, I really haven't been a fan, but I'm not going to wish for them to fail, because that's just not who I am. That's not what a good sports fan really is. But I do want to see them succeed, just except when they play the Jets. They could struggle a bit, but not fail terribly. I think that's fair to say. But before we wrap up, this might be asking for too much, but I do want to talk about Stevie's Bears. I know this is a sore subject, and it could turn into an hour-long rant, so we're going to try to cap it if possible. But
be ready. Be ready.
Ready. Andy Dalton is week one starter. That's basically been confirmed. What week do you see Fields coming in and replacing?
That's funny. So I was actually watching NFL Live right before we got on, and that was their first story that they led off with was the, not controversy, but the situation in Chicago with Dalton being named QB1, and pretty much everyone disagreeing with that and saying when should, you know, Fields should be QB1 right away, and when should he start? Ooh, little tongue twister. But here's my thing. Obviously, the way our line looks, and I think Justin Fields should start right away. If you have it, doesn't matter if you're going against like guy against like Aaron Donald, or like you're gonna be seeing all these guys at least once a week. I mean, week three, the Browns have Myles Garrett, like, or you know, even what's the difference between this year and next year? I mean, it's like you're gonna be going against great talent pretty much every single week. So why are you gonna try to hide it from him? And then like I said, if you have it, you should just have it. It doesn't matter if it's your first year or not. Like, obviously he's going to make some rookie mistakes, but then every player does that. I mean, even veterans still make mistakes. So make some mistakes, but if he's got it, he's going to make those plays that a guy like Andy Dalton is not. Andy Dalton's just going to pretty much give you the very bare, you know, average performance. Maybe one week he's got a pretty good week. Maybe the whole team's feeling it. But so, in my opinion, I think it's going to take a few weeks. See how, you know, the Bears are winning games with Dalton. Obviously, Dalton's going to remain QB1. If they start, you know, if they start 1-2, 1-3, and now you're starting, you know, we got the Lions week four, and I'm pretty sure we got the Packers right around there. So you don't want to go into the divisional, you know, play a couple games below 500. And then if you lose to them, now you're digging yourself into a hole. So it kind of just depends on how the first couple weeks go. If this offense doesn't look like it's improved at all from last year, you know, because pretty much, you know, Nagy never said this, but everyone kind of knew. And Nagy, you know, you could see it in his emotions and stuff like that. Like, pretty much was blaming Mitch and a little bit Nick Foles, but, you know, mostly Mitch, inconsistent quarterback play. So now Mitch is gone. You cannot blame Mitch anymore. So if Andy Dalton's not doing the trick, then something's got to give, something's got to change. And then that's why you got Justin Fields, who you traded up for and was ranked as a pretty top quarterback. And if he's not changing it, then I think it's obviously just Nagy. But if it, you know, but if things are going well, then, you know, Justin Fields is legit. You should have been starting him from day one, but you wanted to follow, you know, the Kansas City model and hope he becomes the next Patrick Mahomes. No. Obviously, you want him to, like, have stats, like, be as good as Mahomes, but let him be the Justin Fields. Let him play to his thing, you know, to his game, and let him go off. Let Justin Fields be Justin Fields and stop with this Kansas City thing, because that's really what's annoying me. And that's what I think is limiting this Bears team, because Nagy's trying to – I mean, even all of these receivers we're getting, which I don't mind, but, like, he's trying to get more speed. Yes, that's good, but, like, look at Kansas City. They're all speed, you know. So he's trying too much to make us like Kansas City, because, yes, they've been so successful and stuff like that. But just you make your own decision. Like, Justin Fields is a better quarterback. Start him, you know. This guy is better than this guy. Start him because he's better. He's going to give you the better, you know, chance of succeeding and winning the game. So that's my rant. I hope I kept it under, you know, it didn't go too long, but I can keep going on. So you better cut me off before I think of something else.
Don't worry. I think you're good. I think that was only 20 minutes of a rant. So that was probably your shortest rant that we've had on the show.
Not bad. Yeah. You know, but trust me, as the season goes on,
it'll get
we're going to need a, every day I'm going to record a little section, and then we're just going to pile it up together. And then for the week, it's going to be like, you know, probably 50 hours worth of me. I wouldn't mind, you know, me loving what the Bears are doing, but I know that's not going to happen. So I'm just preparing everyone for what it's going to go down.
It's okay. The listeners and the fans love hearing Stevie rants. So we'll stay tuned with that. And then before we wrap up, we got to get to Castle with this one. And I know he's not a fan of this team and he has no relation with this team, but I'm curious what he thinks. Stevie brought up the controversy in San Fran with Jimmy G and Trey Lance. So do you think Jimmy G will be the starter week one? And if so, what week, if we see Trey Lance, what week do you think he'll take over, or he won't at all this year?
So before I get to that, I just quickly want to comment about the situation in Chicago. My opinion is that the Bears were a team last year that made the playoffs and they traded up for a quarterback. So if you have an experienced quarterback that's not coming in and not getting you consistent wins, then you move on to Fields. That's all I'm going to say about that. In terms of the situation in San Francisco, you guys will have to correct me on this. What is the current situation with Lance? I know he broke something in one of his fingers. What's the deal?
Like a sprained finger, but they're saying it's just like a week that he's just
resting. It's like a finger chip. It's nothing, you know, nothing too concerning.
Right. That's why.
I mean, it could lead into something. I don't know, but I think he'll be fine.
Right. That's why I had you guys correct me on that. I'm no doctor, so I didn't want to start giving out all these medical terms. But I don't really have a good feel about the situation in San Francisco. You know, I think Trey Lance was a top drafted quarterback. I think a lot of people have hyped this kid up. I've seen some tape of him in preseason, and he looks good. But it kind of goes back to my whole point with the Bears. You know, Shanahan has been a great coach for San Francisco. San Francisco has been one of the top teams in the NFC. I don't know if they're top, but I consider them top five. So I think factoring all those things in, I think Shanahan's going to want to start the season off, and I can see him starting the season off with Garoppolo. You know, he's an experienced guy. He knows the system. He knows the receivers he's working with. He knows the offense. And I think it goes back to the Bears thing. If Shanahan doesn't see the production that he wants from Garoppolo, then you mix it up and you put Lance in. However, would not be surprised if Trey Lance does start for the reason that Garoppolo is coming off an injury, and that could hurt the beginning of the season. So it honestly could go either way. But to answer your question, Josh, I think Garoppolo starts week one.
And I agree with that. I agree with both of your points for Chicago and San Fran. It's tough because they're not in the position like the other three teams are starting their rookie QBs week one, because they do have veterans in their way. But I think those other two rookies will be getting the nod sooner rather than later. And for Stevie's case, better even sooner than soon, if that's a thing.
I promise. You want Nick Foles for, you know, Zach Wilson's got no one behind him. I mean, yeah, I think you need someone. You want to take Nick Foles off our hands?
We'll save it for next week.
All right. Fair enough.
I don't need any Nick Foles talk right now. But that'll wrap up the first episode of our fourth season. So thank you all for listening. Want to do some shout outs. Wild Chat Sports being a great partner. So excited to be continuing that partnership through our fourth season. And we also want to give a special shout out to our new social media guy. We're sad to see Matt Angler have left, but we're pleased that TJ Hummel, one of our friends from University of Hartford, he's taken over social media. So we're pleased and excited to see what he'll do. So we want to thank him for joining our team, and thank you all for listening.